Well, hey, everybody. My name's Amanda. I get to be one of the pastors here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, and I'm so glad that you found us online and decided to worship with us today. It's been a minute since I've gotten to kick off a new message series for all of us, and we're going to do that today with a three-week series called Find Your People, Love Your Neighbors. Today, we are starting this series, and we're going to spend the next 3 weeks talking about our need for real, authentic community, what makes this community here at our church special, and how we can all become community builders wherever we go. As some of you know, I am fresh off another mission trip with our PRPC students. We had an incredible time serving in Pittsburgh, PA a couple weeks ago. We hope you got to see our live stream service last week of the students sharing about their experience and some of our highlight videos. If not, you can find that here on our YouTube channel. Another fun thing that we do on the mission trip was we sit down with each student and do a one-on-one interview about their experience, what they're learning, and how they're being affected. And you'll be able to check back for a new episode released here on our YouTube channel with all of our students. There's something about mission trips that does something for our faith and our sense of community that nothing else can. If I could make everyone go on a mission trip every year or every other year, I would. I would make you all do it. Not just our students, but our elementary school kids and our middle school kids, our young adults, our older adults, everybody, I would make go on a mission trip if I could. If you have never spent a week bunked up in some non-air-conditioned classroom, sleeping on air mattresses with a whole bunch of people you have never lived with before, there is something the Lord has just not taught you yet about humility and patience and graciousness. There is something that you haven't gotten to experience yet if you haven't bunked up with a bunch of kids on a mission trip yet. There's something about traveling together, about doing meals together, about relying on one another to finish a project. Something about worshiping together twice a day for 5 days that does something to us and for us that showing up even every Sunday morning for an hour just can't do. I know it's not realistic to get all of us on mission trips every year. Some of us, our mission trip days are long behind us. Those sleeping on air mattresses days are just not realistic. And some of us are in those sleepless baby and toddler years, and so we're not interested in an air mattress sleepless night with teenagers. Some of us are working demanding jobs, are caregiving and managing calendars, and the thought of stepping away for a whole week to do anything less than pull off that one family vacation, well, it seems insane. I know this. But I really wish I could force everybody to go on a mission trip so that you could get to experience a little bit of what we get to experience going on these trips together. A big takeaway from this year's trip that inspired this message series is the comments I heard from students and leaders alike about the sense of community they experienced that week on the mission trip that is not like the other communities where they spend most of their time. There is something about the sense of community in this place with this group of people that's different. And you know, we've worked hard on that. We have tried to cultivate a certain kind of community for our PRPC students that we believe will change their lives. And it's something that I want the rest of PRPC to get to experience. So that's why we're going to spend these next 3 weeks looking at our need for this kind of authentic community. What it is really that makes the community here different, and how we can be community builders wherever we go. Before we can talk about being part of an authentic community, we have to get honest about how we need authentic community. We need other people. I do, and you do too. It's how God made us. God created us for relationships. God created us to need and know each other. And maybe some of us know that in our heads, or we feel it in our hearts, but do we live that with our lives? If we are honest, we do not like needing other people. If we are honest, we're not that good at letting other people know the real us. It's one of the ways I see this sin and brokenness play out in the world today. We have believed this lie that we are okay on our own, that we can be self-made, that it is all up to us. That needing others is a sign of weakness. And that if people really knew the real us, well, they wouldn't love us at all. We have believed these lies that have kept us cut off from each other and cut off from God and God's sense of community and that sense of love that is best expressed and experienced in community. So I want to share a story from Mark's gospel about an interaction that restored somebody to their community. It was actually one of the stories that our students heard on our mission trip a couple weeks ago, and it's one I want to share with you. Jesus and his disciples, they'd been in Jericho, and a large crowd had started following them. And as they were leaving the city on their way to Jerusalem, the crowd began to follow, and they passed by a man who was sitting on the side of the road. He was a blind man. His name was Bartimaeus. And he was sitting on the side of the road begging. And when the man saw Jesus pass by, he stood up and he started shouting. He was calling him Son of David, and he was asking for mercy. Everyone around this man told him to be quiet, you know, to stop bothering Jesus. Maybe they thought Jesus was too important. Maybe they were embarrassed by this loud outburst, this cry for help. Maybe they just didn't want to be associated with someone who was begging. But Bartimaeus, he just called out louder and louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. In Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 49, it says, Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And then he called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, my teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and he followed along with the rest of the group along the way. A man like Bartimaeus would have been an outcast in his day because of his disability, his inability to see. He wouldn't have been able to work. He would have relied on the charity of others, people coming to him and that act of begging. He wouldn't have had close relationships. People didn't want to be associated with people who were differently abled. It was like a sign that something was wrong with them or that God didn't have favor on them. So he would have been alone and outcast and dependent. He was forced to sit on the sidelines. Maybe you've experienced times in your life where you have been sitting on the sidelines of your own life, hoping, wishing, begging, praying for things to be different. Maybe like the blind man, it's for reasons outside your control. Something happened to you. The marriage ended. The results came back. The kids grew up. The plans changed. And if that is you right now, I want you to hear that I am so sorry that happened to you. And you are not alone. Many of us have also experienced times where we have been knocked down by circumstances that are outside of our control, and we get stuck there in that knocked down position. We get stuck in bitterness, stuck in envy, stuck in hopelessness or complacency. We tell ourselves things will never change, and so they don't. In these positions of bitterness and envy where we get stuck, those feelings keep us cut off from other people. As one pastor pointed out, begging never set the blind man free, but belonging did. He knew who Jesus was right away. He called out, Son of David, calling him that name, linking him to that powerful line of King David that would have meant something to that group of people. David was a sign of God's protection, of God's redemption, of God's presence with them. Something about Bartimaeus, he knew who Jesus was and knew to ask him for mercy, and he trusted that he would do something for him. Jesus asks him this question that I think we would struggle to answer ourselves. What do you want me to do for you? In bold faith, this man answers, "Teacher." Some translations say, "Rabbi." He says, "I want to see. Restore my sight to me. Let me see again." And following this pattern of many of Jesus' healings, he says to Bartimaeus, "Go, your faith has made you well." And his sight is restored, and he jumps up, he throws off this cloak that would have been on the ground to collect people's charity, people's donations. He would have thrown off that cloak that was for begging, and he got up to follow Jesus the rest of the way to Jerusalem. What I want us to take away from this story today is that Bartimaeus needed to speak up and get up for something to change in his life. Some of us right now are sitting on the sidelines of communities that have the potential to change our life. Maybe you're sitting on the sidelines of a new team at work, a class you've always wanted to take, a club you could join. Maybe you're sitting on the sidelines of your own family, of your own friend group, of your church. Maybe you are sitting on the sidelines of belonging and need to decide that you'll be the one to make the next move, to raise your hand, to fill out the form, to send the text, to show up to the event. Maybe you need to go to a quiet place, like a quiet corner of your house, or find a nice place outside. And you need to ask yourself that question that Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Maybe try writing that at the top of a piece of paper and then just start writing. See what comes out. If Jesus was to ask you that question, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would you ask? What would you pray? Would you have the boldness to ask for it, and would you have the courage to follow Jesus where he leads you? Here is something that I know in my bones to be true. I have met some of the most important people in my whole life because of the church. One of the ways I tell the students about it is that it is because of Jesus that we get to be friends. It is because of this place that only exists because of Jesus that we get to be in each other's lives. This place is only here because of Jesus, and it makes our relationships, our community, our very lives different. The lie that we have been believing that we're all okay, that we don't need each other, that we've got this, it is not working. And it's time to find your people. And you might even be able to find your people here at Parkridge Presbyterian Church. So we hope you come back next week as we dig into what it is that makes this community different. And whether it's here that you find your community or not, these are the kinds of communities where you can be authentically known and loved and accepted, and they will be the communities where you find your people. Let me pray for us. Merciful God, we give you thanks that you see us and you know us, and you desire for us to be in relationship with you and other people. God, for those of us who are feeling cut off and beaten down and tired of trying, God, would you give us a renewed spirit, a renewed longing, a sense of hope that we can indeed find our people to walk through this life with us. God, we give you thanks for our community, this online community, and our church gathered here on Sunday mornings, that you continue to inspire us and connect us to your love and mission in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name.